Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Nun Zayin. Maybe it's easier simply to note the third wide line. We are continuing with the three maisim, the three incidents that opened up this agadic section back on the bottom of Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We finished the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story, and now we're at the second of the three stories that we've highlighted in the margin with a special triangle with a colored in tip. You'll notice the nosei, and it reads Atarnagola Vitarnagolta Choriv Turmaka. Because of a male and female chicken, Turmaka was destroyed. Turmaka is the name of a region in Eretz Yisrael. Or, as Rashi says, Tur Malka Medina Shishmo Har Melch. Tur is a mountain, Malka a king. The king's mountain was destroyed. It's the name of a region, and we turn now to the Gemara, third wide line, Atarnagola V'Atarnagolta Chorev Tur Malka. The Havu Nehigi, there was a custom, Ki Havu Mafki Chasno V'Kalosa. When a chasson is a man about to get married, a groom and a kala, a bride, when they were being accompanied to their wedding, mafki kamayu tarnagola v'tarnagolta, they were preceded by a rooster and a chicken, klomar, and this was to signify pru uravu k'tarnagolim, multiply and be fruitful and multiply like chickens. Yumachad have a kacholif gunda de Romoi. One day, a Roman military troop was passing by, shaklinu minayo, and these Romans took the chickens from in front of a bride and groom on their way to their wedding. Noflu alayu, the Jewish people that were present, became irate and machun hu and beat up the Romans. Asu amu le Caesar, they went and told the Caesar. Mordu bach yudoi. This is a repeat theme from that which we saw in the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. It was informed that the Jews are rebelling. Asa alayu, so he came to retaliate. Hava behu, amongst the Jews there was Hahu Bar Droma. There was a man. He's referred to as Bar Droma, literally a man from the south. But you'll see he was a warrior, an amazing fighter. Davakofitz Mila Vakotibahu. He was able to jump a mile, a kilometer. Of course, that is probably something of a figurative nature. But he was a powerful individual, and he killed off the retaliatory force. Shakle Kesar Letage, the Caesar, realizing this embarrassing defeat, he took his crown, the Oisvei Ara, and placed it on the ground, Omar, and he issued the following prayer, Riboine de Alma de Kule, O Master of all the universe, Inicholoch lo timsere lahu gavra ledide ulamachuse biyode de chad gavra. If it's pleasant to you, if it should be your will, don't allow Lahu Gavra, literally that man, but it's a reference to himself, it's a euphemism. We saw this in our previous year a few times, how people, when they speak about themselves, they'll refer to themselves, especially if it's in a negative context, they'll refer to themselves in the third person. So here he's saying, don't allow me and my nation to be given over, to be defeated by one man. The prayer was very heartfelt. It's deep prayer. And imagine it's a prayer from the Roman Caesar, who was amongst other things. You can assume he was also an idol worshiper. But many idol worshippers also recognize the God above all other gods, the Almighty. And he appealed to the Almighty. And as we say, it was a heartfelt prayer. And the Almighty responds, Ach shele pume lebar duroma. The Bar Truma, this warrior, literally stumbled in his speech. He said something he shouldn't have said, Biomar, and he said, Halo ato elekim zenachtanu velotetse elekim betzivoisenu. You, O Lord, have abandoned us, and don't accompany us in our war efforts. In other words, let me handle it. We don't, so far as to say that we don't need you. I'll take care of everything. Well, you couldn't think of anything worse to say to the Almighty when, as the Pasuk in the Gemara says, Hashem Yilochem Lochem V'atem Tacharishun, the Almighty wages wars on our behalf and you remain silent. Nevertheless, that's what he said, and it leads to his own undoing, his own downfall. The Gemara asks, why is this Pasuk so, why do you view his citation of this as so negative? David Nami Omar Hochi, the great King David, an exceptionally pious individual, he said that. The Gemara says, it all depends on the tone. David Atmuye Komatma. David said it in a tone of wonderment, meaning, did you Almighty abandon us? Did you not go in our military forces? In other words, of course, the Almighty is ever present. So that you can't try to justify the Bar Duroma's citation from the fact that David HaMelech said it. The Gemara continues, Ol lebeis hakisei. Ol means he entered. The Bar Duroma entered a beis hakisei, a bathroom, to relieve himself. And also Darkona, a serpent came, Shante Lekarkishe, and he bit out from the anal area of the Bar Duroma, and Venoch Nafshein, that killed him. Omar Hoyov Israchish Liniso Hozimno Ishbekinu. The Roman emperor noticed, he saw that a great miracle befell him, and as a result of that, it says in honor, in appreciation of the miracle, I'm going to leave them. I'm going to so Shavkinu V'Ozal, the Roman emperor, left them and went on his way. Izdakar Ochlu V'Shosu V'Adliku Shrogi, the Jewish people who saw that the Roman retaliation withdrew, arose in joy, and they ate and they drank and they lit a lot of fires of candles. Ad ischazi b'yoyne de gushpanka berichuk mila. There was so much light generated from these candles that you could observe the imprimatur on a signet ring from the distance of a mile. In other words, someone was a mile away, a kilometer away from these lights. There was so much light that he could identify the image on a signet ring. Omar, the Caesar, got wind of this, noticed their rejoicing. The Caesar reacted, Michta kachoda biyudai. It looks like the Jews are rejoicing, as if suggesting that I was defeated. Hadar Osolayo, he then returned with a military advance. Omar Vasi Tlasmea Alfi Shlifi Saifa Ailu Latur Malka. Ravasi says Tlasmea's 300 Alfi 1,000. 300,000 sword bearer, Shlifi Saifa. Saifa is a sword. Shlifi is to draw a sword. So we'll call them sword bearers. Arose to that area, Tur Malka. The Kotluba Tlosa Yoimi Tlosa Levusa. And they spent 3 days, three murderous days and nights. Ubahachki sa Hiluli Vichingi, Velohavu Yadi Hani Bahani. on one side, on Bahakis, on the other side of the Tur Malka, of the King's Mountain. But that region, the other side of that region, they were partying, and they didn't know what was going on the other side, the murder and execution of so many. Bila Hashem v'lochomal eskol nevot ne'os yankiv. Kiyosa Ravin Omar. Regarding this pasuk from Eicha, Ravin, when he came, he said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Elu shishim riboi ayorois. Shishim, 60 ribo. Ribo is 10,000, so it's 600,000 cities. These numbers, one has to research further whether you should take them literally, or there are numbers that often, many places in the Shas, numbers are representative, are a code for something else. The figure Shishim Ribo has its origins in the Chumash, with reference to the number of Jews that left Mitzrayim, according to the statistic, the population statistic, or census that was taken at that time. But that was the number of males above 20, between 20 and 60. And here the same number appears, probably a reference to something deeper. But in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shirim, we basically present the translation, recommending along the way to look into these things further. So Yochanan tells us that this pasuk that we read from Eicha Perek Beis, Bila Hashem V'lochomal, as Kol Nois Yankiv, is a reference to 600,000 cities that had Shahoyu Lo Liyanai HaMelech, Bahar HaMelech, that were under the rule of King Yanai in that region called Har HaMelech. The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Vasi, Shishim Riba Yoros Hoyu Lo Liyanai HaMelech, Bahar HaMelech. There were, Ravasi tells us that there were 600,000 cities owned by King Yanai in Har HaMel, v'chol achas v'achas, hoyu bo k'yotze Mitzrayim. Each one of these cities had populations equaling the number of people that left Mitzrayim, chutz mishalosh, with the exception of three, shoyu ben kiflayim k'yotze Mitzrayim, that had 1.2 million in each one of those three. That kiflayim means double the Yotze Mitzrayim, the ones that experienced the exodus from Mitzrayim. Eluhena, the names of those three exceptionally populous cities were Kfar Bish, Kfar Shichlayim, Kfar Decharya. These are names, but the names have meanings to them, and the Gemara explains each one, and that's what you can see appears now. The numbering scheme that we just used, 1, 2, and 3, are repeated. Kfar Bish, Delo Yavi Besa Lushpiza. Bish means bad, the city of the bad. What was their characteristic? They did not provide housing. That's Lo Yavi Besa. They didn't provide housing, Lushpiza, for guests, for wayfarers. It's somewhat reminiscent of Sdom. Kfar Shichlayim Shahoyu Shahoysa Parnososa Mina Shichlayim. Was a place that earned their income from Shichlayim. Shichlayim is a type of plant food, plant made into a food, a special food preparation. And Kfar Decharya, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the word Decharya, the root of that word, Dalid, Chof Resh, is like the word Zohar, the Dalid and the Zion interchange, so it's the town of the males. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shoyin Shasem Yoldos Zechorim Tchila, V'Yoldos Nikeva Bachrona Uposkos. In that community, the births were characterized by male births, and then finally a female birth. The emphasis being on the multitudes that were born there were males. Omar Ula, L'didi chazi li ahu asra, I saw Har HaMelech, and Ula lived at a time, a number of years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a number of years after this incident, and he notes, I saw that place, v'afilu shisen ripsa koni lo masik. It wouldn't be able to hold even 600,000 koni, reeds. In other words, Ula is saying, saying, so to speak, what are you telling me stories about this area having 600,000 cities in them? It can't even hold 600,000 reeds. Amar Lehu Tzeduki L'Rebbe Hanina, the Tzeduki, the heretic, he says to Rabbi Hanina, Shkuri Mishakrisu, you are liars. You say that there were 600,000 cities in Har HaMelech, and you can see the place is much, much smaller than that. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Hanina responded to the scoffer and said, Eretz Tzvi Ksiv Ba, regarding the land of Israel, the Pasuk says, Eretz Tzvi. The Tzvi is a deer. Matzvi ze ein oiroi machzik es besoro. Just like a deer, it has a type of skin that when it is skinned, it contracts and it becomes much smaller than the animal that used to be contained therein. So when you look at the skin of a skinned deer, you wonder, how could this possibly have contained such a large animal? Well, that's the nature of the skin. It contracts. Af Eretz Yisrael, likewise with regard to the land of Israel, Bizman Shiyoshvin Oleo Rivacha, when it is inhabited, it expands to contain as many people as need be. Ubizman Shiyoshvela, when it's unoccupied, Gomda, it contracts. Rav Minyumi Bar Chilkia, Rav Chilki Bar Tuvia, Rav Huna Bar Chio Havoyasvi Gabi Adodi. You have three Rabbonim that were sitting together, Amri, and they said, I Iko de Shmio Le Milsa Mikvar Sachanyo Shel Mitzrayim Lemo. If there's anyone that can speak about the nature of the conduct of Kfar Sachanyo in Mitzrayim, a place in Mitzrayim, regarding their conduct, were they tzaddikim, were they righteous, were they wicked? So speak up now. Let's hear about Kfar Sachanya of Mitzrayim. The crown marking that you see here and over the next few lines are featured on the side. Nosei/Mivneh, the crown markings are Gimel Adios 3, Testimony Shemaridim, Al Tzidkusu Shel Toshvei Kfar Sachanya Shel Mitzrayim. Witness to testify concerning the righteousness of the inhabitants of Kfar Sachanya. The Gemara continues, Posach Chad Mina of Yomar, one of the three Barbonans spoke up and said, Maise Ba'orus Varusoso. There was an incident of a couple that were, let's say, newly married, about to get married, She Nishbu Lebein Ha'ivde Kechavim, that were taken captive by the idol worshippers, Vesium Ze Lozet, and the idol worshippers attempted to have the Orus and the Arusa, who they had entered their first stage of marriage, wanted them to consummate their marriage. It's Vesium Ze Lozet, from the word Nisuin, is to consummate the marriage through intimacy. In traditional Jewish practice, Jewish law, marriage was through two stages. There was first, man would offer a woman money or something of money value in exchange for her acceptance to be wed unto him. That establishes erusin. And then, after a certain amount of time, the couple would then get together and enter a marriage canopy, and that would be followed by intimacy, which we call nisuin, the consummation of the marriage. So at this point, the couple had been taken captive before they reached the consummation stage, and the goyim tried to put them together, so to speak. Omrelo, the bride, says to the groom, "Bevakash imcha tigavi she'ein li ksuba mimcha. Don't touch me, because you haven't written the ksuba, the marriage financial document that is necessary for a couple to consummate their marriage. Now, and that hasn't been prepared yet. V'lo noga bo ad yoim moisoi, and he didn't touch her until the day he died. Apparently they remained in captivity for till the very end. Ukshemes, and when he died, Omro lehen, the bride said to them, Siftu lozeh, shepipe biyitzer yoisir miyosef. I want you to eulogize this one, you know, it's my deceased groom that overcame his yetzer, his natural human tendency. A man would want to have intimacy with his bride, and he didn't. He overcame his yetzer. Yosef, Yosef, more than Yosef. And this is a reference to the biblical account of Yosef and the wife of Potiphar, who had attempted to seduce Yosef, and he overcame the seduction and ran away. And so in what way did this man supersede Yosef? And the widow makes 3 points. Number one, De'ilu b'Yosef lo hava elochada shaita. With regard to Yosef, it was a one-time, it was a momentary incident of a high kol yom v'yom, and this one, my deceased husband, every day for who knows how long. It was day after day that he overcame his yetzer, his tendency. V'ilu Yosef lav b'chado mita v'hai b'chado mita. Yosef didn't sleep in the same bed with the wife of Potiphar, and this man slept in the same bed, physically on the same bed with me. Didn't touch me though. V'ilu Yosef lav ishto v'ha ishto. With regard to Yosef, it was the wife of Potiphar with someone else's wife altogether. And one can, let's say, more easily overcome any tendency when it's, we'll call it a forbidden relationship in the sense that it's someone else's wife. And here I was his wife. And the only thing that was lacking was the ksuba, as far as the Gemara's account is concerned. And nevertheless, he resisted temptation. So you can see a couple coming from that town, Kfar Sachanya, and the high level of righteousness. And I think that we're seeing this, and it's supposed to serve as a reflection on the rest of the community as well. Posach idoch v'yomar, and the next of the three rabbis said, Maise v'omdu arboim modios bedina. There was a time where there were 40 measures. Modios is a measure of grain, a specific measure of grain that cost a dinar. 40 measures of grain costing a dinar. Nechser ashar modio achas. The price went up a bit. One modio. Now, if we can say, Rashi says nisyakir hatvua, so it would mean then instead of 40 modios for a dinner, you would get only 39 modios for dinner. The tvua, the grains becoming more expensive. Ubadku motsu, and they said, wow, what's going on? Why did things all of a sudden become more expensive? And it doesn't seem to be a significant change in price. It's a little more expensive, and yet they analyzed. They felt that things are not world. The world doesn't operate on there within the world, within life experience. So there are, we'll say, concrete, gashmiistic, concrete events and actions that take place. However, these people understood that all things that take place are really a manifestation of something spiritual. It's the outcome of something that's of a sinful nature. Why otherwise should things become more expensive? Botku umotsu, they checked out Avubno, father and son, Shibo al Nara Murasa Biomaki Purim. They discovered a father and son that had intimacy with a betrothed maiden on Yom Kippur. There are a number of sins involved in this kind of, let's say, forbidden act. Yom Kippur is forbidden in any form of intimacy, even legitimate intimacy. It's forbidden on Yom Kippur, and all the more so you're dealing with a capital offense of a man having intimacy with a namorosa, a betrothed maiden to someone else. She's married to someone else. And it was on Yom Kippur, v'hevium lebeisdin, the community brought them to court, v'sulkum, they stoned them, v'chazer ashar l'mekomo, and the price was restored to its original cheaper rate. This little incident provides a great deal of food for thought. We continue. Pasach idach v'yomar ma'ase ba'odom echot shenosan enov b'ishto legarsha. There was a man that had an intention to divorce his wife, v'hoisu ksubasim ruba, but her ksuba, the financial obligation he has or would have toward her, was very large. He would have to pay her a lot of ksuba money. Ma osa. So what did this guy do? We'll call this scheming husband. You know, on the one hand, he wants to divorce his wife, and on the other hand, he's locked in to the, because he's bound by the money aspect. Holach v'zimein es shushbinov. He invited a couple of his friends. V'echilon v'hishkon shichron v'shkivan almita achas. He gave them food and drink and got them to become drunk. And he had them go sleep on a bed, on the same bed with his wife. V'hevi loivin beitza. And he brought the albumin, the white of an egg. Now, the white of an egg is similar to male semen. V'hitil beinahem. And he had his drunk friends there lying on the bed and with his wife. And this husband, we'll call him the scheming husband, put the egg albumin between them to create a rumor, to create create the image that there was intimacy between his wife and these guys. V'hemidlam Aden, and he set up witnesses. Ubal the Basedin, and the case came to the court. So these witnesses would testify that they saw what appeared to be Shichva Zera with the guy's wife and these other men. Hoya Sham Zokin Echod Mitamide Shamaya Zokin Ubovo Ben Buto Shmo. There was present there a sage who was a student of Shammai the elder, and the gentleman's name was Bova Ben Buto. Omer Lahem, and he says to the court, Kach Mikublani Mishamaya Zokin. I have the following tradition from Shammai the elder. What we're going to see now is a lab test to establish whether the material that these witnesses are testifying about was really male zera or was something else. So what's the test? So Bovan Ben Buta tells us, Loivin Beitza Soiled Min Ha'ur. V'shichva zera doiche min ha'ur. We look at Rashi. Rashi gives a French word for so laid, and he says masyabe shumaglid. It loven beitza will dry and maglid and become crusty. That's when it's subjected to fire. Male zera doiche min ha'ur. That means that when it's subjected, when you have a male zera on fabric, on a sheet, and you subject it to fire, it will become absorbed into the fabric, and it won't crust over, won't maglid, is the Hebrew word. Geled is a membrane or something that crusts over. Like in a case of an injury, it's a scab. Bodku Motsu Kidvarov, they subjected the sheet to the test and they found like he said. In other words, they discovered that it wasn't male zera to begin with, it was egg white. Vivu Lebesin, they brought that scheming husband to the court, Vilku, they subjected him to lashings, Vigvu Ksubasa Mimenu, and they collected from him the money due to her, the Ksuba money. Omale Abaye Le Rav Yosef, umeachar dehavu tzadikim kulei hai, and after seeing that they were so righteous, we saw here three incidents. We saw the Orus and Arusa where there was no ksuba and he withheld himself. We saw the discovery of how they dealt with sinners found in their midst, and we discovered how they treated this scheming husband and punished him accordingly. So we have a community of righteous people, and after they are discovered to be so righteous, my time anish. Why was Kfar Sechanya of Mitzrayim punished? Apparently, it's a community that was either annihilated. It was whatever the case is. It this community experienced a punishment. Amalei. So Rav Yosef says Mishum de la'aba Yerushalayim, because that community did not mourn the destruction of Jerusalem. Dichtiv, the pasuk says Simchas Yerushalayim v'gilu bo kol avel. Sisu ita mesois kol hamis ablam aleha. At the end of the pasuk says, all those that mourned over Jerusalem deserve to rejoice over the joy of Jerusalem. So that if one does not mourn the destruction of Jerusalem, so he doesn't experience the joy and the as the pasuk says, the simcha and the gila of those that do mourn Jerusalem. In other words, the lack of mourning of Jerusalem leads to one's downfall. And we have on the side another triangle, the Nosei Asaka Derispa Chorav Beitar. This is the third of the incidents that were featured on Nun Hei Omid Beis. Asaka, in the Gemara we continue, Asaka Derispak, that's the side of a it's called a Mirkevas Noshim. Mirkevas is a cart that in which women would ride. So there was a side of this cart, of this enclosed a vehicle, like a buggy or a cart, as we said, a chariot-looking thing, a coach. The side of this coach is what's referred to here, the Saka de Rizbak. Because of that, Choriv Beitar, the great community of Beitar, was destroyed. Davanehigi Kavu Misyalid. There was a custom that when children were born, Yanuke Shasli Arza, Yanuksa Shasli Tornisa. When a little male child was born, an infant male born, they would plant an Erez tree. It's a type of tree. And when a girl is born, they would Shasli Tornisa. They would plant a Tornisa tree. Rashi, as far as what it is, Rashi gives you a foreign word for it. We don't have to dwell on the translation. We'll simply refer to it as, the Gemara says, a Tornisa tree. V'chi havu minsevi, when the girl and boy would get married, when they would marry, kaitziluhu, those very trees, the his and her trees, would be cut down. The avdu ginona, and from the trees, they would fashion a marriage canopy. Yumochat avakochalfi barte de Caesar. One day, the daughter of the Caesar was passing by. Aspar ispar, well, the word ispar shavar, the tof and the shin interchange, so you get the word broke. Ispar saka de rizbak, the side of the coach in which she was traveling, broke. Kotsu arza the ailu law. So they cut down the tree. The Erez we saw was the tree planted in honor of the birth of a little boy. So they took his tree and used it to repair Bas Caesar's, the daughter of the Caesar's coach. Asu nafu alayu, the Jewish people took offense at that, and they attacked the Romans, Mahonu, and they beat them. Also, Malay the Ketzar, Mordubach Yudoi, and this repeat theme. They reported to the Caesar that the Jews are rebelling. Also, Laiu, and he came and with a retaliatory force upon them. Goda Bochriaf Kol Keren Yisrael. Again, a quote from Eicha Perek Beis. Omri Bizerim Avavo, Omri Yochanan. Eilu Shmoinim Elef Karnei Mechoma. The Pasuk is referring to 80,000 Karnei Mechoma. Rashi says, Roshe Geisis, Toike Karen, Misasim Aleim B'nei Tzivon. The these are horn blowers, trumpet blowers. So there were 80,000 Karnei Mechoma. And now each trumpet blower represents the head of a military force. And here we're focusing, where we're mentioning only the leaders of each particular troop that were the horn blowers. And as a result, when you blew the horn in a military context, that represented a call to gathering together. So you had 80,000 Karnei Mechoma. These are heads of troops entering. They entered the city of Beitar. And that's at the time that they captured Beitar. This is the number of Karnei Mechoma that entered, and they killed off men, women, and children. There was so much bloodshed that it flowed from Beitar to the Great Sea. So you might say, well, it was very close to the sea. The Gemara says, no, it was a kilometer away from the sea. So they had, for the distance of a kilometer, a stream of blood indicating quite a few victims. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar HaGadol Omer. Rebbe Elazar HaGadol, the great Rebbe Elazar, says, Shnei necholim yesh bebikas yodayim. There are two rivers in Bikas Yodayim. Bikas Yodayim is the name of a place. Echad Moshech Eilich, Echad Moshech Eilich. One flows in this direction, and the other flows in that direction. V'shiru chachamim, the chachamim estimated, Shnei chalokim mayim ve'echad dam. There were two parts water and one part blood. One part blood flowing in these rivers from the victims of the murdered inhabitants of Beitar. The Masnisa Tana, in a different Tanaic source, it's taught, Sheva Shanim Botsu Avdi Kechovim Es Karmeim. For 7 years, the idol worshippers were able to harvest their vineyards. In other words, the vineyards were fruitful. Midomon Sheyisrael Belo Zevel, based on the blood of the Jews, without any further need for fertilizer. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omer Rabbi Chia Bar Ovin, Omer Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha. Sochli Zokein Echad Mi Anshei Yerushalayim. It was told to me by a certain elder from the people of Jerusalem. A couple of points. Number one, Bebiko Zu Horag Nevizraden Rav Tabochim Mosai V'Achas Esrei Ribo. In this Bika, in this valley, Nevuzradan, who was the military general under Nebuchadnezzar, that's the time associated with the first Beis HaMikdash destruction. So this, in this valley, Nebuzradan, who was the Rav Tabochim, the head executioner under King Nebuchadnezzar, he killed, and now the number here is, you see, Mosai V'Achas Esrei is 211 Rebo, 10 times 10,000. So if you do the multiplication, you get to a number like 2,110,000 people were murdered in that one valley. Ubi Yushalayim Horag, and in the city of Jerusalem, he killed Tishim V'Arba Rebo. That's 94 times Rebo, 10,000. That's 940,000 al Evan Achas, on one stone. In other words, he either decapitated or he bashed their heads. 940,000 people on one stone. Ad Sholach Domon V'Noga B'Domon Shel Zechariah. There was a blood flow from there that flowed till it touched the blood of Zechariah. Zechariah was a Kohen and a Novi in the first Beis HaMikdash period. And he was killed in the temple courtyard in the Azara, so that we have a certain imagery here of blood flowing from a particular stone till it reached the blood where the spot where Zechariah was murdered. You'll note we have a long marking describing Domoi de Zechariah. So it's essentially one long point. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The pasuk that relates to this is the Shenemar, Vidomim Vidomim Nogo. The one bloods touch the other blood. Ashkeche Ledome de Zachariah Davikomusach. It was found that the blood of Zachariah was boiling. Visolik was boiling and rising. Omar Maihai Nivuzradon saw this and he said, "What is this? It seems something obviously unnatural to see a pool of boiling blood." Omrule, so the Jews that were there said, "Dam zvochim dishtapuch. This is simply sacrificial blood that spilled. I see domi velo idmu." Now sacrificial blood is blood of animals. So what they did is they brought animal blood, compared it to the blood on the floor, and it did not look like animal blood. There's apparently a difference between human blood and animal blood that is noticeable. Omar Lahu, so Nevuzradon, the Babylonian executioner, said to them, "I am Risu Li Mutav, if you tell me what this blood really is, then good. Vilo, vilav, and if you don't, masrikno libisraichu bemisriki de parzali. I will comb off your flesh with iron combs." An interesting punishment. Interesting, I mean, in the sense that this is a punishment, a form of execution that I think was made most famous by through the death of Rabbi Akiva. And you see, it was quite an ancient method, dating back at least as far back as the Babylonians. So it wasn't something that the Roman murderers invented. Amri Lay. So they said to Nevuzradon, the Jews said to him, "My name, Allah, what can we say? The truth is, Nevi'a Hava. The blood here is blood of a prophet. Nevi'a Hava Bon. Bon means amongst us, like Bonu. To have a Komoichalon, the Mili Ishmael. He used to chastise us regarding heavenly matters." In other words, he would try to rebuke us, to straighten us out in the performance of mitzvos. Kaminon Ilio v'katlinon lei. How do you deal with someone that you don't like what he says? Well, they simply kaminon alayu. We arose upon him and killed him. We shut him up forever. V'ho kamoshonin delo konayach domein. Here it is, many years later, and his blood has not come to rest. It's boiling away. Omar Lahu, so Nevuzradon said, "Ano mefayas nolei, I'll appease his blood. I see Sanhedrin gedol, Sanhedrin ketana, kot eliyo v'lonoch." He assembled the great court, and the Sanhedrin ketana, that's a reference to a lesser court, numbering 23 judges, also having great powers of execution. He murdered these supreme courts, and the blood did not stop boiling. What else did he? He went on. Bachur misulos kotalayu. He brought forth young men and women and killed them. Velonoch, and the blood still did not come to rest. I see tinoikish abeis rabon kotalayu velonoch. He then brought the young children who studied in the beis rabon, called elementary Torah education. He brought all of the children, killed them, and the blood did not come to rest. Omalei, Nevuzradon says, "Zechariah, Zechariah, toivin shebaheni baditim. I have destroyed the best of them. Nicholach da'avdinu lekulhu. Do you want me to execute all of them?" Kidomalei hochi, upon his saying of that, noch, the blood stopped boiling. At that moment, this incredibly wicked executioner had thoughts of penitence in his mind. Omar, and he calculated, he reasoned, "Uma'im al nefesh achas kach." If for the murder of one soul, namely for the death of Zechariah, who the Jews had killed because he made them uncomfortable, yet the Almighty enables this kind of retribution to take place, Ahu Gavra, the Kotel Kohani Nishmosa. Ahu Gavra, the expression we've seen already before, it's a euphemism, but it's referring to himself. He's saying, I, who killed so many souls, Alachas Kama Vakama, all the more so, can you imagine what's awaiting me? Orak, he took off. Ozal, he went. Shodar Shtor Partisa Bevesei, he sent a written will to his house, V'igayer, and he converted to Judaism. Can you imagine that? Tana, and here we have a Tanaic source featuring some very prominent people who were not the friends of Israel, and what eventually happened. Naaman Ger Toshev Hoya. Naaman was a military leader of a nation that was not necessarily in alliance with the Jewish people, but as a result of the story featured in the Tanakh, where he was aided, he was helped, he was remedied through the efforts of the prophet Elisha, out of gratitude and appreciation, he became a Ger Toshev. A Ger Toshev is a person who abandons idolatry. He doesn't become a regular, full-fledged convert to Judaism, but he's considered on a significant level of spirituality by virtue of the fact that he accepted upon himself monotheism, abandoning idolatry. Nivuz Radon Ger Tzedekoya. Of course, that's the person we were just featuring. He became a Ger Tzedek, he's a full-fledged pious Jew. B'bnei Bonav Shel Homon Limdu Torah B'vnei Brak, or Lomdu Torah B'vnei Brak, from the descendants of Homon, there were those that studied Torah in B'nei Brak, a community that you can see in, even in the Haggadah Pesach, which seems to be a Torah community. B'nei Bonav Shel Sisra Limdu Tinoikis B'Yushalayim. From the descendants of Sisra, there were those that taught young children in Jerusalem. Mibnei Bonav Shel Sancheriv Limdu Torah Barabin. From the descendants of Sancheriv. Sancheriv was the Assyrian king at the time of the exiling of the northern kingdom of Israel, that we call the Golos of the Aseres Shvatim. That was concluded through Sancheriv. His descendants taught Torah publicly. Maninun, who are the descendants of Sancheriv? None less than Shmaya Vavtayun, the great leaders of the Jewish people in the Tanaic period, Shmaya Vavtayun, who in fact were the predecessors, the teachers of Hillel and Shammai. Regarding the blood of Zechariah, Hainu Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Nosati es domo al tzchiach sela levilti ikosos. Rashi says, on the third line from the top, al tzchiach sela, al chelkas even chaloka, shelo yivla boretz. It's a reference to a stony ground upon which things would not be absorbed into the earth. So too the blood of Zechariah, which was on the stone floor of the Beis Hamikdash. So the pasuk says, "Nosatias doma tzchiach sela levilti kosos," and as a result of the blood accumulating on the stone floor, it did not become covered. It didn't get absorbed into the ground. Pasuk says, "Hakol kol yankiv ayadaim yedei Esav." This, of course, is a pasuk that describes the voice of Yankiv, who came in disguise to Yitzchok, his father, in order to receive this special blessing. But here we're going to darshan the pasuk. Hakol, in this pasuk, the voice said, "Adrianus Caesar." Shehorag ba'aksantri shel Mitzrayim shishim ribo al shishim ribo kiflayim kiyotzi Mitzrayim. Rashi on the fourth line from the top says Koil, the voice is Koil Tzvocho B'chi Oylem Yankov, the voice of scream and cry that ascends from Jacob, from the Jewish people. And Ro Yitzchok B'nevua Mapolo Zu Shel Beitar, the Pasuk is actually a prophetic reference on the part of Isaac Yitzchok, the father who said this Pasuk HaKol Kol Yankov Yadayim Yedeisov. He was prophesying the screams and cries coming forth at the time in the future of the destruction of Beitar. So our Gemara says it's a reference to the Caesar whose name is Adrianus, who killed in the here. This is a reference. This particular reference, we mentioned Beitar, but we mentioned that prematurely. First, we should have mentioned the Jewish community of Alexandria in Egypt, where there were 1.2 million people murdered. The Shishim Ribo is 600,000, but twice, that's Kiflayim, double the number of people that were featured in the census of those that exited exited Mitzrayim. Kol Yankov, ze aspesianis kesa shorag b'krach beitar, the screams coming forth from Jacob is a reference to the murder victims at the hands of the Caesar whose name was Aspasianus that killed b'krach beitar in the city of Beitar arba meos riboy. Now arba meos is 400 times 10,000. The Amri law, another version is arbos alofim ribo. Arbos alofim is 4,000 times 10,000. Make the calculations and you'll see that you're dealing with vast numbers of people. This second number in particular, 40 million people, dwarfs the calamity of the Second World War many times over. It's true that Tzoros Achronus Mishachas Rishonus, the more recent tragedies, make us forget the earlier tragedies. But that itself is a tragedy that we don't realize we don't realize how much we had to pay, what price we had to pay as a people for our sins over the generations. Let's continue in the Gemara. Vayodayim Yedei Esav Zu Malchus Horosha. This is a reference to the evil kingdom. The evil kingdom is a reference to Rome. Shechrivas Beisenu, they destroyed our holy temple. The Sarfas Echenu, they burnt the Beis HaMikdash, V'glisonu Me'artzenu, and exiled us from our land. Dovar Acher, another approach to the Pasuk of Hakol Kol Yankov. Hakol Kol Yankov Ein L'cha Tfila Shemoyeles She'ein Bo Mizaro Shel Yankov. There is no prayer that is beneficial unless amongst those that are praying are the descendants of Yankov. Ve'adayim Yedei Esav, Ein L'cha Milchoma She'neitzachas. You won't have a battle in which there is victory She'ein Bo Mizaro Shel Esav unless you have descendants from Esav in that war effort. V'hainu D'yomar Rebbe Lozar B'shoit Loshon Techovei B'chirchurei Loshon Techovei. There are different approaches. Rashi says that this V'hainu D'yomar Rebbe Lozar is a reference to that which we said earlier, that through the sin of Rashi calls Loshon Hora, the Beis HaMikdash was ultimately destroyed and so many tens of thousands of people were killed. That certainly would be relevant to the story involving Bar Kamsa and his speaking evil of the Jewish people. And this Pasuk, which refers to the B'shot Loshon Techovei, the showed us a stick, the stick of the tongue which works as a stick that beats upon its victim, so too the speech of the likes of Bar Kamsa resulted in the death and the destruction of so much. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. We have a new trend of thought here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've written on the side, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Her'ayu LeDavid Churban Bayis Rishon V'Sheni. The Almighty revealed to David HaMelech the eventual destruction of the two holy temples. The Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Marav, Mai Dichtiv, Al Narois Bovel, Sham Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu, B'Zochrenu Es Tzion. What is meant, what's referred to in this pasuk? Melameh Shereo Kosh Baruch Hu LeDavid reveals to us that the Almighty showed King David Churban Bayis Rishon V'Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash as well as the second. And the Gemara details this now. Churban Bayis Rishon Shnemar Al Naros Bovel Shom Yashavnu Gam Bochinu. On the rivers of Babylon we sat and cried. So the reference to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which was at the hands of Bavel, the Babylonians, is what is referred to here. Bayis Sheni, where do we see that the Almighty revealed to King David the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was at the hands of Rome, who were a people that descended from Edom, Edom being Esau. The Pasuk says in that same chapter of Tehillim, chapter 137, it says, "Dichtiv zechor Hashem livnei Edoim es yoim Yerushalayim ha'omrim eru eru ad hayesoi ba." Remember unto the descendants of Edom the day of Jerusalem, the day in which they said, "Let us plow it up from its very foundations." On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Maisa al Dalid Meis Bonim Ubonis Shenishbu Lekoloi Mimosu Nafshim Lishmal Tarosom. We're going to see a story involving 400 girls and boys that were taken captive, and they were taken captive, let's say, for immoral purposes by the captors, and how they gave up their lives to maintain their purity. You'll notice we have a structural note, the Mivne, a diamond is featured, and we indicate Maisim, these are incidents, V'od, She Mitarim, Es Aposuk, Ki Olecha Haragnu Kol Hayom. There's incidents and more, V'od, and more, that explain or that describe or that, let's say, are a manifestation of the pasuk that says over you we've been killed all day. We mentioned their incidents. You can see Rabbi Yehuda, if we start with Shmuel, who reports an incident, and Rabbi Yehuda also an incident, and then later in the lower part of the page you'll see a number of of diamonds, of additional diamonds, which refer to this pasuk of ki olecha ragnu kolayim, but they're not reporting incidents, stories, but rather ideas or matters to consider that reflect this pasuk. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. V'itema Rabbi Ami. V'amri lova masnisotana. So it's either Shmuel, some say Rabami, another version has it as a Tanaic source. Maisa, bedalid meis yelodim yelodas shenishbu lekolon. It's an incident where 400 young boys and girls were taken captive. Kolon is a reference to intimacy in an immoral context. Hirgishu v'atzmon lema hein mitbakshim. These young, these youth, males and females, understood. They sensed what they were in for what they were desired. Omru, they said as follows, Im onu toive bayam, if we drown at sea, in other words, if we kill ourselves at sea, onu boy nechayelim abo, we will come, we will have a portion in the world to come. Dorash lohen hagodol shebahen. The eldest of these children said, Omar Hashem mi boshon oshiv, oshiv mi metzulos yom. That's the pasuk, and we break it down. Mi boshon oshiv, mi bein shine aryeh. The word miboshan is like mibein shinayim, from between the teeth of the lion. Oshiv mitzus yam, elu shetoivim bayam, those that drown at sea. In other words, if we would say commit suicide, but it's suicide in order to escape defilement. If we do that, we will have a portion in the world to come. We will be restored. Kevan Shishomu Yaldiskach, when the girls heard that, Koftsu Kulon Vinoflu Lesochayam. The young girls who were amongst them heard this. They said, better for us to preserve our purity than being subjected to defilement at the hands of these captors. And they jumped into the sea. Nosu Yelodim Kalvachomru Vatsam Vomru. The boys amongst them then used Kalvachomer logic regarding themselves, and they said, Ma halolu shedarkon lekach. Mind you, the girls, they're females, having intimacy with males is, we'll say, the normal way of human beings, where a male has intimacy with a female. And yet, even though that would have been the normal way, these girls nevertheless wanted to preserve their dignity, and they jumped overboard, and that's what happened. Kach, that's what happened. Onu shein darkeinu lekach. We were males. The captors are also males, and it's not normal. It's not the way of people to have males having intimacy with the same gender. Our humiliation would be all the, our, let's say, defilement would be all the greater, alachas kama v'kama, and all the more so with regard to us. So mind you, the girls that would have been subjected to a lower level of defilement, and yet they wanted to preserve their dignity, their purity. We, who would be subjected to a greater level of indignation, all the more so, it's upon us to preserve our purity and dignity. Af heim koftsu lesochayam. They too jumped overboard. V'aleim akosev oimer. And regarding them, the posuk says, Ki alecha hayragnu kol hayoim nechshavnu ketzoin tivcha. For alecha, for you, for your honor, for your glory, we're killed all day and considered as sheep to the slaughter. Rav Yehuda Omar Zu Isha V'Shiva Bonel. The posuk just cited is a reference to a woman and her seven sons. You'll notice, by way of markings, we have a series of double underlines, one of our series markings, and this will feature what happened to each one of the seven sons. So as you skim down the next number of lines, you'll notice a numbering scheme up till seven. So what's the story behind the woman and her seven sons? Asua kamo lekame kesar. They brought the first child to the Caesar. Omru lei, they instructed him, plach levitzkovim, worship the idol. Say, bow down to the idol. Omar lehu, kosav b'torah, he responded to them, nothing doing. It says in the Torah, anoichi Hashem elokecha. the Almighty is the only God. Afkuhu v'kalu, they took him out and executed him. Asua li'idoch, this is going to repeat itself time and time again, each one citing a different verse, reflecting the prohibition and the disdain toward idolatry. The Marsha deals with the question of why is it that each one cited a different verse? What's the connection between each son and the particular verse that was cited? But for our purposes, we are going to simply leave you with the recommendation of looking into the Marsha as we go on in the Gemara. So they brought the second son to the Asua le'idoch le'kami Kesar, le'kami de Kesar in front of the Caesar, Omrule. They sold him plach, they told him, plach lavedis gechovim, worship the idol. Omar lehu, kosu batura, lo ye lecholim achirim al ponai. There shall be no other gods. And afku v'kotlu, and the same fate befell him. Asua le'idoch, omrule, plach lavedis gechovim, Amar Lukasu Batura, Zovech Leluhim Yocharam. Anyone who offers sacrifices, who worships other god forms, shall be destroyed. And I'm not going to yield to that. Afkuhu Vekatluhu. Asiu Liidoch, Omrule Plachlevis Gechovim, Omar Luhu, Kasu Batura, Loisish Tachaveli Elacher. Thou shalt not bow down to any other god. Afkuhu Vekatluhu. Asiu Liidoch, Omrule Plachlevis Gechovim, There is only one God. Afku v'katluhu. Asiu liidoch omrulei plavis chovim omaluhu kosu b'ter v'yodato hayorim v'hashevoiso el levovecho ki Hashem hu elukim b'ashamayim imal v'al oretz mitochas ein oid. The Almighty God is the God of the heavens, the God of the earth, and there is no other. Afkuhu v'katluhu. Asiu liidoch omrulei plachavis chovim omaluhu kosu b'ter. Es Hashem hemarta, the Hashem hemircho hayom. The expression of Hashem hemarta means the Almighty, you have made unique. You have made him the one and only. And in return, the Almighty has signified the Jewish people as the special, unique people. Kfar nishbanu l'kodesh baruch hu she'ein anu ma'avir mo'isoi be'el acher. We have already sworn to the Almighty that we are not exchanging him, changing him for some other god form. Ve'afu nishbalonu she'ein ma'avir mo'isoi be'el acher. And likewise, he swore unto us that he is not going to change us for another people. You can just imagine the innuendos, the hint that you can read into this line of Gemara. How many other pseudo-religions, those that claim to be monotheistic, and what they say regarding the Jewish people, and here you have a direct denouncement of that claim. That the Almighty swore not to change us for any other people. Us, the Jewish people. Omar Le Kesar, the Kesar says to this seventh boy, Ishti Loch Gushpanka, I'm going to throw my Gushpanka. Gushpanka is a seal. In this case, we'll say the royal seal that my image is upon it. V'gochin v'shakle, bend over to pick it up. That will create the image as if you're bowing down to it. Rashi says, Gushpanka, chois me my signature, my signet ring or my sign, shetsurasi tuabo. This is my seal upon which my image is engraved. Kedei, so by bowing over to pick it up, kedei shtei nireh mishtachavela, it will create the impression that you're bowing to it. And kihechi de lemru, so that the public will say, kobilo le harmona de malka, that he, namely you, the seventh boy, have accepted my supremacy, my rulership. Omale, the boy says to the Caesar, chaval alecha kesar, chaval alecha kesar. Woe unto you, Caesar, al kavod atzmecho kach, regarding your own honor, look what is. Al kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu achas kama v'kama, for the honor of the Almighty, all the more so. Afkuhu l'mikdalei, they took him out to be executed. Omra lehu imei. The mother, here her seventh son, says, Yahavu ni'aliv in shikei purta. Please, give him to me so I can kiss him a little bit. Omra lo, and she says, Bonai, lechu, she addresses her children and says, lechu v'imru l'avram avichem. It could be she's addressing this last child as a representation of the other children who've already been executed. And she says to them, children, go and tell v'imru l'avram avichem, tell your father Abraham, ata kadikta mizbeach echad, you set up one altar, meaning the reference to Akedas Yitzchok, the binding of Isaac, vani akadati shiva mizbechos, and I set up seven altars. Afi also legag v'noflo mesa, she too arose to the roof and fell off and died. Yotzabasko v'yomra, a heavenly voice came forth and said, Eim habonim smecha. The mother of the children is joyful. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Zu mila shenitna b'shmini. The posuk of Olecha Ragnu Kol Hayom is a reference to the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And Rashi says, Zu mila ho Ragnu Kol Hayom de zimnin de mayis. When circumcision takes place, circumcision that's given to be performed on the eighth day, there are those that die as a result. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Elu Tamidei Chachomim Shemarin Hilcheshchina Shchita Ba'atzmon. The posuk of Olecha Rag Nekol Yom is a reference to the negative practice of Torah scholars that demonstrate the act of slaughtering upon themselves. What exactly is a reference to? Are they holding a knife in their hands and indicating what the action of shchit, of ritual slaughter? There's a particular laws, there are details in how the knife is to move without pausing. There are details that you see in Maseches Chulin, in the first chapter, that deals with the laws of Shechita. Talmid Chachamim would demonstrate this on themselves. As I said, whether it's a holding of an actual knife, or they do it with their fingers, but the point is not to demonstrate it on oneself. D'yomar Rava kol mili lechsi inish b'nafshei. A person can demonstrate all kinds of things on himself, bar mishchita v'dovarach, with the exception of slaughtering. Rashi indicates that, like our first suggestion, that they would demonstrate it using an actual knife. Rashi says, what's the problem? Shema yitzchavenu begrono. The knife might end up, while he's trying to demonstrate it, it might end up cutting into his own throat, penetrating his own throat. It's dangerous. According to Rashi's approach, then, might be allowed to use his finger to demonstrate shechita on oneself, but there are those that even that desist from doing. The other thing one should not demonstrate on himself is the appearance or the size of a tzaras, of a nega, on one's flesh. Rashi says, apparently, on mystical level, a spiritual level, that invites negoyim to come upon oneself. Negoyim, of course, is a reference to the skin discoloration that the Torah features in Sefer Vayikra that is associated with a rather high level of defilement of tumah. But so one should not demonstrate these things on himself. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shememisim Atzmon al Divrei Torah. The pasuk that says Ki Alecha Haragnu Kol Hayom is actually he takes it in a positive sense. It's a reference to a true Torah learning. Torah scholarship is gained only through one who studies in such a way that is as if he is killing himself over it. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, in accordance with Reb Shimon ben Lakish, with Reish Lakish's teaching, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaymen Ela B'Misha Meimis Atzmo Aleihem. Torah learning will not be retained other than by those who are Meimis Atzmo, who kill themselves over it. To kill oneself over Torah learning means that when studying Torah, one studies without all kinds of frills and physical dainties and enjoyment, but rather asserts himself in a complete physical way, focused on accomplishing Torah study. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Zois haTorah Adam ki yomus bohel." It's a drasha, and the Marsha explains how Reish Lakish reached this drasha. The pasuk is saying that this is the Torah. It's for a man that dies in the tent of Torah, meaning for someone who sacrifices physical pleasures and enjoyments for the sake of Torah study. Omar Rabo Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan. We continue with descriptions of the multitudes that were killed in Beitar. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads Kamut, the number, the amount, Kamut HaTfilin, Shenimsa Eitzel Haruge Beitar, that were found amongst those that were killed in Beitar. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan, Arboim Sa'ah. The Sa'ah is a measure, so 40 Sa'ah. We continue at the top of the Nun Ches. Kitzutze Tfilin, Nimtzu Beroshe Haruge Beitar. Kitzutze Tfilin as a reference to the boxes that contain the Tfilin capsules. Rashi at the top says Kitzutze Tfilin Defus Tfilin Chutz Min Ratzua. The form of the Tfilin, the box that is associated with the Tfilin, is what's referred to here when, with the exception of, to the exclusion of the straps. So when you refer to the tefillin without the straps, you're referring then, you would use the term kitsutse tefillin. Apparently, if you use the word tefillin, that will include the complete unit, the complete phylactery. So if you want to refer to the box without the straps in it, you would use the term kitsutse tefillin. The Gemara continues. So we said there were 40 sa'ah of tefillin boxes found on the heads of the executed of Beit HaRebbe Yanai, Rebbe Shmuel, Omar, Shalosh, Kupois, Shel, Arboim, Arboim, Sa'ah. Three barrels, each one containing 40 sa'ah. Pemasnisa Tana, Arboim, Kupos, Shel, Shalosh, Shalosh, Sa'in. 40 kupos, 40 boxes containing each one 3 sa'ah. There's a note that you see that draws your attention to the Hagois of the Rabbeinu Bezalel Ransburg at the bottom of the Gemara text. But, well, let's read the note he has there. B'masnisa tona arboim kupos shel shalosh shalosh sa'in v'lo pligi. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yanai. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yanai, the Omar Gimel Kupos Shel Memsa, Masnisa de Tona Arboyim Kupos Shel Shalosh Sa'a. lo pligi al rabba bar bachana rabbi yochanan diomar rak mem sa'a. We had a number of, let's say, larger numbers, as opposed to the number given at the beginning of that Rabbi Barbar Chana gave us. The Rabbi Barbar Chana Mayri Bidara Vinu Bidaresha. Rabbi Barbar Chana was talking about the tefillin of the arm, the hand, the arm, yad. The Dara is the yad. And they were speaking about the tefillin Shorosh. Now we see this in the Gemara. B'masnisa tona arboim kupos shel shalosh shalish soyim v'lo pligi. The numbers, the first number that we saw, in contrast to these subsequent numbers, are not at odds with one another. Ha deresha, ha dedara. The tefillin shalosh. Rashi says on the second line from the top at the end, he says dedara memsa udereisha shehem gedolim. Arba botim chok tzitza, havu gimel zimni arboim sa'a. The tefillin shel yad have basically one capsule containing the four sections of the Torah written in. So it's smaller in size as opposed to the tefillin shel rosh, which have four separate capsules in them of parchment, each one containing a separate. Each one having one of the four sections of the Torah written on it, making it larger. One has to note, as we oftentimes do, when it comes to matters of practical halacha or applied halacha, if you see something in the Gemara that doesn't jive with that, one has to research things further. We're not presenting practical halacha. Nowadays, when you observe tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad, they appear to be of the same size. Yet, the Gemara indicates something else. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Asi, arbo kavin moyach ninsu al even achas. In the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, there were four kav. Kav is a measure. Four kav of moach, of brains, found on one stone. Apparently, the destroyers, the murderers, the Babylonian murderers came and smashed heads, and that accounted for the spillage of brains. So four kav were found on one stone. Ula Omar Tishas Kavin, nine kav. Omar Rav Kahana Vitema Shilo Bar Mori, my craw. What's the pasuk that prophesies that? The pasuk says, "Bas bovel hashaduda, ashrei sheyishalem loch, ashrei sheyoyfez venipetz es elelayach el hasola." So the pasuk, you can see, makes reference to bovel and their murderousness and smashing of heads el hasela onto the rock. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.